But sometimes also on a Wellness Wednesday and a conversation about health, we speak about health-related things that are happening around us for the sake of just knowing a little bit more, but also making decisions that include everybody around us. In this case, this week from the 16th to the 22nd of June is known as Learning Disability Week. And joining us this afternoon is a gentleman that's going to help us understand more of this world that so many of us may be familiar with. But also there's some people that might be saying, man, this is something that is real in my house with my family, in my classroom. But also there's some parents that might be saying, I've heard about this, but I just don't know how to raise my child with this in mind. Or even for us in the community, how we create space for those with learning disabilities. So we've got on the line Dylan Mashele, who is a public relations communications consultant at the National Council of and for Persons with Disabilities, joining us on the line. Dylan, welcome to Drive 3 to 6. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Khosi, and good afternoon to your listeners.
Dylan, I mean, let's get into the conversation of learning disabilities by maybe firstly understanding what learning disabilities are, because I think for a lot of us, we might be thinking, I don't know if there's categories within the space of disabilities.
So learning disability is a neurological disorder that affects how people express and process information.
And I guess that's where we find these different areas and places and disabilities that are included in that particular definition, right? Maybe you can give us some of the most common types that we find.
So the common types that we find within the learning disability is dyslexia. And dyslexia is difficult with reading, spelling, and decoding some of the words. It's not only dyslexia, it goes with dyscalculia, trouble in finding the method and the concept of maths and also calculation. Then the third category within the invisible disability, which consists of dyslexia, it's dysgraphia. It goes hand in glove with dyslexia. Remember, dyslexia alluded that it's having problem with reading and spelling. So dysgraphia, it's having problem with writing, spelling, and reading. So those are the three common learning disabilities.
I think the question then becomes, and I think for a lot of parents, especially as they're raising their children, you kind of become very alert and you could be oversensitive and find yourself saying, oh, my child is struggling with making out this word, so maybe I should take them to the doctor. Which then brings me to the question of, are there any signs or things that people could look out for? Or maybe before we even get to that, is there a specific age range or a moment where these learning disabilities may be identified to help a parent who might be going, I'm not sure if I should be looking out for it for my child who's 3 months, 3 years, or even 13?
Khosi, parents' duties is to always be observant of their kids and let the kids do a full examination. So when it comes to learning disabilities, it is being identified at the age, at the early learning stage, from the age of 5 up until 9. So parents must be very observant throughout those years. Yes, there are a lot of signs that parents must look out on. One sign might be developing speech or language development. So those are the signs that parents must always be observant when it comes to their kids. They need to look out for those signs. Then that's when they can start being concerned.
Okay, and what does it look like then for a parent who then notices that, you know, their child may be struggling with the development of speech in that age range that you mentioned? Do they immediately contact the healthcare provider? Do they go to a pediatrician? What does that next step look like in verifying their assessment and, of course, in terms of what help and options are available?
So help and options are super available, Jose. There are public and private support sectors that are there that are tailor-made to cater and accommodate learners with learning disabilities. Number two, they can take their kids to Alson schools. They can also see educational psychologist and occupational therapist. They will be able to assist them. There are NGOs that cater and accommodate invisible disabilities, such as ours, the National Council of and for Persons with Disabilities. We are an organization that strive to alleviate challenges that are faced by persons with disabilities. And when I allude persons with disabilities, we cater for all types of disabilities, be it visible or invisible.
Let's speak to something that I saw. There's an article that I was reading just a couple of days ago. I think it was yesterday, actually, that speaks about online schooling being an excellent option for neurodiverse children. Obviously, once you're speaking of neurodiversity, we include other things, your ASD, ADHD, and all the other details. But also, this may be including those of learning disabilities. Is this still an option that families can consider to say, hey, in efforts of ensuring that the environment is helpful to my child, this is what I can do? Or should a parent be saying, hey, I want to be able to do online schooling, but pair it with medical support for the sake of my child?
Well, it depends with parents. But the fact and reality of the matter is the fact that when you take your kids to where there's a common disability, it creates a conducive environment for the kid to learn better, knowing that he or she is not alone. There are people with, or there are learners with similar condition as theirs. So it gives them that opportunity that, okay, it's fine. If Lihlohonolo is struggling with reading, and I'm excelling in spelling, we can help each other, then we can create a conducive environment for everyone. Yes, and I'm not against the fact that online education grant the students or the learners an opportunity to make sure that they excel, because they will be under the supervision of their parents. So it depends with the parent, but then the best option is to consult the learner and ask them what is the best option in this regard.
Make a very, very point, very good point there, Dylan. And let's then speak about the rest of us, society, and those in the communities of these learners that may be struggling with learning disabilities. And how do we become a more inclusive society? Like, what can we do better in ensuring that we don't isolate children that may be struggling with learning disabilities, or really just kind of sidelight them and otherwise have opportunities that they would miss completely?
Khosi, us as the nation, I think if South Africa can learn not to always assume that persons with disabilities always require assistance, we will be creating a conducive environment for everyone. The best thing that any person in South Africa can do is to ask a person with a disability, be it visible disability or invisible disability. If anything that concerns me, that impacts my life, can be asked me first before it can be made an approval, it will be doing justice to persons with disability. So in a nutshell, what I'm saying is that they should consult persons with disability on how best they can work with them, how best they can practice inclusive education when it comes to them. Unlike a decision being taken that will impact them on their behalf.
Yeah, that's a very, it's so easy for us to fall into that space where we make those decisions without considering or even consulting, even if it's with good intentions. Well, Dylan, before we wrap up our time together, there's someone who may be listening to this conversation and think, man, this is something that I would love to learn more about, either as a member of society, like you're rightfully saying, to ask more before making those set decisions. Or maybe someone might be saying, hey, this is something that I'd love to be able to learn about because I've got family members, I've got loved ones, I've got children in my classroom as a teacher, whatever it may be, and they're saying, hey, I'd love to know more. Where can they go to get more details on this?
I articulated that a conducive environment can be created when experts are being involved in this regard. And we at the National Council of and for Persons with Disabilities, we make sure that we uphold the rights of persons and learners in this content. with disability. We make sure that we protect their human dignity because we believe that they too deserve the right of dignity. So South Africans can contact the NCPD on 011-452-2774, or they can visit us on our website, which is www.ncpd.org.za. Then they will find all the cubicle that they need. If there's a special school and there's a host employer that has learners and that has people with learning disabilities, we've got disability equity training. We are there to advise accordingly and according to the need of that particular person. And the best thing that we can do to or offer to South Africans, it's the fact that not two persons of the same disability require the same assistance.
Dylan, thank you so much. This has been very insightful. I think many of us are walking away from this conversation enlightened a lot better, and will be responsible with how we engage with our community. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much to you and your listeners.
Dylan Mashele, who is the Public Relations Communications Consultant at the National Council of and for Persons with Disabilities, helping us navigate this place that many of us may not know too much about, but now understanding can be able to love better for those in our communities.